Welcome to the Move Minds podcast. And now here are your hosts, Bill Alvsted and Sherry Koretke.
Hello and welcome to the Move Minds podcast. My name is Bill Alvsted and I am here again with Sherry Koretke. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. We're officially into fall.
Yay.
I think it happened last night at like 7:30 or something like that.
It was right on time.
And just like a switch in Portland, we went from 90 degrees the previous day to like 68 today and rain.
Rainy.
Isn't that crazy? It's just crazy. I don't know. So hopefully we're not completely done with the sun because I really like the sun.
Yeah,
I mean,
it'll come back.
Last 4 or 5 months, we've had this beautiful summer where we've had very little rain. It's been like 85 degrees every day for 5 months. It's just been nuts. So.
Yeah, it'll come back in October.
So today on our podcast, which is our 14th podcast today, we are going to talk about a subject that really kind of started back in October of 2013 when Sherry and I first got together and started talking about our company, Move Minds, what that really meant, redefining success. And a term that we identified early on as the success gap and what that means. But back on podcast number two, we talked about redefining success. And what does that kind of mean? And we'll kind of set the table for what we're going to talk about today, Sherry.
Redefining success was about how we need to look at success differently and define it in our own terms for each one of us, as opposed to some arbitrary, you know, goal of success that somebody else sets for you. And we went through them, the media, your parents, education, schools, you know, telling you what success looks like, and you need to find out what you think it is.
How does this get framed around the idea of social purpose culture?
Well, it was the whole start of our movement of creating it, that as long as we took some sort of definition.
We were seeing that people were often defining their success based on material goals.
Exactly. Material goals.
Which was at odds with the idea of having a meaningful purpose to do good. It was more about me. And less about helping others, giving back, creating an atmosphere of good, doing good things, collaborating, and so forth. So all of those ideas were kind of opposite of the ideas of the way that the media and our current culture has defined success for us, as opposed to allowing us to redefine success, in, like you said, in our own terms.
I think that when it comes down to what we're really trying to say with the social purpose culture is switching it from a me culture to a we culture. And as long as we're focusing on a success model that isn't exactly one that encompasses our communities and our families and everything else that we've, you know, really passionate about, we're moving away from a culture that is compassionate and has empathy for others because we're so focused on our own pursuit of success.
Sure. So if you want some more information on what we talked about before on that subject, go back to podcast number two and have a listen to that. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure there's an article or two about redefining success on there.
We did have an article on our website about that as well. In addition to that, we'll be writing a book here this next year, and this will be a fairly substantial portion of the book in talking about success, talking about the success gap and how we navigate that gap to create more meaning in our lives and more purpose in our communities. So today, what we wanted to focus on was the actual success gap. And in order to do that, I think we need to define exactly what that means to us. And essentially, the success gap is the time between an idea or a goal and the actual success or the achievement of that goal. And there's a process, there's a time that lapses between the time you identify that and the time of actual success. But there are many different points along the way that give you, you know, mini successes, if you will. And we talk about winning the day. You're taking opportunity to identify, kind of points along the way that give you pause to say, hey, you know, that was good progress. That was something that I did, that I achieved, that, hey, pat on the back. It's time to take a little time out and acknowledge that. It helps you build momentum. It helps you create more self-esteem and self-worth and so forth. So that was important. But let's kind of go through the process.
Well, this whole idea of the success gap started when we were talking about the images that we received of what success looked like. And when it looks like somebody's an overnight success, and we missed the whole process of what this person went through in order to achieve this success.
There are no time machines.
Yeah, exactly. We have this image of this person that's successful, and we think, oh, we want that success. We want that car. We want that house, or whatever they have that's portraying the success. And it could even just be a championship ring if it's sports or something. But we noticed that if we're not focusing on exactly the steps that the people take to get to achieve this goal, we think that it might be just some sort of easy process.
Or so the media kind of portrays this as being an overnight success.
Yes.
And the media loves overnight success.
Yeah, those shows
that it glorifies it. And so we kind of have a romanticized idea as a culture that success came easy to somebody. And so we celebrate that. Well, in actuality, there are very few overnight success stories
very
in this
few.
Country. Most successes happen through a long process of trial and error, of failure, of little successes along the way that build over time, and a long process to create what would be termed the final success.
Yeah. I noticed with my own daughter that she would see somebody who was far better than her at something, and she would just, you know, cry out in frustration because she wasn't as good as them. And I have to go through the process of saying, you know, you have no idea how often this person has practiced to get to this level. And you may have just picked this up, you know, yesterday, and they've been doing this for years. So, you know, stop looking at what other people have achieved and work from where you are.
That's a great point.
And accept that adults, we're all at different levels.
And you know what? Adults go through the exact same thing. We just talked about it earlier today when we were getting ready for the show, that we all get stuck in the same routines. We wake up every day. We go through the 9 to 5. We come home. We make dinner. We've got all these challenges and things that are drawing our energy and attention. And as quick as a wink, we're back in bed and going to sleep for the next day. And we just, you know, it keeps repeating itself over and over. And we are not taking the time to properly navigate how to get through this, to get through life. It's just, it's a difficult thing, but there are definite steps and tools that we can take to help you with that. In fact, in our next podcast, we plan on talking about how to navigate the success gap that we're talking about today. So we've kind of identified what the success gap is. Why is it important that we identify that? And what are some of the things inside the success gap that give it its characteristics, Sherry?
Well, we talked about maybe using some concrete examples that everybody universally has show us what a success gap is. So, for instance, there's a gap between when you start school and when you graduate. And the goal is to graduate and move on and go to a next step in life. And that time in between is what we're calling the success gap.
So often we get caught up in the, what do I want to be?
What do I want to be?
As opposed to,
what do I want to have?
I need to get the tools necessary to be.
Yes. Well, I think that the whole point of the success gap is, and why we're talking about it, is that we need to find a way to be happy at any point of our life. It's not just the individual, or it's not just the big successes. It's all the little successes along the way to achieve it, because life is not something that is static. It moves and shifts, and there's things that happen along the way that we need to navigate on our way to success. So the connection between redefining success and this success gap is, what we're saying is that redefining it means that we look at a lot of ways of interpreting success. It's not just the big goals that we achieve. It's all the little ones in between. And they're not all something that we get. It's something that maybe we give. That could be a success. Right. So, giving back is a definite way of redefining success.
So instead of always taking the highway, mm-hmm. sometimes we take the little country road.
Yes.
And why is that important? What do we get from taking more time to
enjoy life?
Use the tools in our toolbox and to gain more tools to help us through the process.
I think in between there's a whole, that's our life. I think that when we take our life and chunk them up into different goals, we tend to think that our life starts once we achieve that goal. And that's not true. Our life is continuing all through that whole process. And success is actually living successfully each day.
What about failure? But how does failure play into the success gap?
I always think of failure as a teaching tool.
And an opportunity.
I don't see failure as something that we take personally, that we say that, I failed. It's something that you learned that didn't work, or it's something that may not be the right path for you to go. But there's usually a lesson within failure that's...
It helps teach us who we are.
Wisdom is something that I think that
we need
to... That's a
very good word right there. I like that.
We really need to gauge as being part of being successful. As it's not just money, but wisdom that we gain through our life to help us navigate it better and better and better is important to learn within these, this gap that we're talking about.
Right. It builds, it helps us build character. It helps us build our confidence.
Yeah.
It helps us with our self-esteem. And our self-worth. We know who we are better later in life than we do when we're 20 years old. It's just the way it is.
Well, maybe we should talk about this success gap in relating to having some sort of purpose, and how maybe the success gap that we're talking about is more fulfilling if it's a goal that we find to be more purposeful and have more meaning than one that is set by other people. For instance, your parents say that you should become a lawyer or a doctor or something.
Sure.
And we're trying to achieve that.
I think, I can relate it on my own terms, because our family likes to go on vacation because we do work a lot and we do, we have a lot of stuff going on. And so when we set breaks throughout the year for us to be able to be together as a family and spend some quality time. And one of the things that we did a couple of years ago is we took a road trip down to California and went to Disneyland. We've got a couple of kids, so that was on the agenda for a little while. And so we took the time to do that. We could have flown down there. We're in Oregon. We could have flown down to LA and done the Disney thing and then flown right back. But we decided to take a California road trip, and we'd always wanted to. And it's one of those things that you've romanticized over and over in your head of what it's like, and then you put the family together in the car and it's like a complete disaster. And some of the reasons why it's a complete disaster sometimes is because you've rushed into getting in the car, you've packed it, you've completely loaded it, and you drive straight there, and it's a mundane drive, and you're driving down I-5, which is, not extremely scenic. There are some scenic spots, but it's just one of those things where you're on a freeway and you just go the whole way and you don't stop. And, there's bathroom breaks and you fight and argue along the way. What we decided to do is we wanted to take a little extra time. We stopped in the Bay Area and visited Karen's family. And so we took some time to do that. And then we drove up the coast and we spent the night on the coast, and we took a little extra time to have lunch in Santa Barbara. And then we eventually, you know, basically 4 days later from Portland, arrived in Anaheim and then did our little Disney thing and then drove back. But we took the time, and which is, I think, is a key point, is we set ourselves up with enough time to really enjoy the drive and enjoy our time together in the car and have quality conversations, spend some time in some of the little towns and cities along the way. We always wanted to go to Hearst Castle, and it's kind of out of the way in California. You've really got to kind of set it up as a destination to go there, and we did, and it was awesome. And so just those little things allow you to really add meaning to your life. And so for me, that's how I identify with that. And you had mentioned your daughter again, entering high school, and the process where she's wanting to, you know, kids at some point, they kind of say, I want to do this, or I want to get to this point, and they can barely stand it that they're not already there. And you really got to take that as a teachable moment to say, you know, you've got a long time to get there. Let's really go through every day and make every day count towards that process. And your growth, your personal growth during that time is the most important thing. It's not where you're going to get to be. It's loading your toolbox with all the tools necessary to be a active, responsible, contributing adult, you know, in the end is what life is all about.
Yeah. I mean, I know that high school is where she's going to learn a lot of interpersonal skills, and she's going to learn things that she likes and doesn't like. It's one thing to think you want to be something when you grow up, but you have to actually experience it. And the, you know, all the breadth of classes that she takes will give her some experience and give her some feedback on what she likes and what she doesn't. And it'll help hone the, you know, which direction to go into college. But I also want her to enjoy high school. You know, the everyday moments. It's, you know, the time with the friends, it's going to football games, it's all sorts of different things that are involved in there that, you know, I know she's a little bit special cases that some kids may not be so focused on, you know, what happens after graduation, but that goal of graduating and becoming independent is one big area that is a key area to learn to navigate that. And I think if we try to skip over everything and numb ourselves or watch a lot of TV or, you know, do a lot of things to try to get ourselves to get from one point to the other until we're waiting for this magical moment, we're missing out on life. I don't know if you noticed that life goes by fast no matter what, but it's, if you have those really good memories, it really does help to lock in.
So you said waiting, basically waiting to experience something. You're waiting for the perfect time, for right. The right moment, for the right person to enjoy it with, it just goes on and on. We always find ourselves waiting, and it's a frustrating process because it's seemingly easy to do. All of us do it at different points in time during our lives. We're all kind of guilty of that waiting thing, but how do we get away from that?
I think that we stop waiting. We have the problem with the success gap is that we think life is better on the other side because we label it as success, as something is successful. And so we think that our life is not at that point. And I look at life as something that we need to keep working and striving. We're human. It's not something that, you know, we take very well. So when we're pursuing goals and we're waiting for some sort of something at the end, we're missing out on the huge, big chunk of your life that you could actually have been having a ton of fun.
So this is why enjoy the process.
Yeah, redefining success is important because I think that if we thought of every day as something meaningful that adds up to something bigger in the end, then we have more meaning, we have more purpose in our lives, we are happier people. And that's what's important to us, is not that we're all successful in some sort of our way that we can prove to other people, but that we all feel successful in who we are right now. You know, I think that when we wait, we're waiting for something that I personally think that we always had. It's like, I just realized it's like the story of Oz and the whole trip to get there. And then Dorothy finds out she already had what she needed. That's exactly what we go through in life, is that all the tools, everything that we have, we already had, and we're waiting for some moment, some destination, some place to get to. And actually, we already had it. And I think in that moment when we appreciate that is when we realize that our lives are so successful.
So how is this really important to the process of a social purpose culture? How does this tie in together to the success gap? I think for me, if I can just interject really quickly, is I think it when you identify the redefinition of success as essentially giving yourself more time to enjoy the process is really kind of what we're talking about, is more time and more freedom within the success gap to have failure and to embrace that and to embrace bringing other people in your life that would maybe help lessen the burden of going through that process by yourself, gives you an opportunity through collaboration and through identifying some of the things that you're really good at, which I think that you identify by going through the process of reaching that success gap, gives you a chance to explore and take chances on other things that might add meaning and value to your life and to your community. And through those things, I'm thinking we're talking about the social purpose culture, where we've allowed ourselves now to get out of the idea of being selfish to an idea of giving back a little bit. And through that giving back is that process of social purpose, where you're thinking outside of yourself, whether you this is an individual or it's your company, or you're an individual contributor within a company. You're now looking at the world through the lens of, how is this going to impact my community, the people around me, and my own company? Am I giving other people opportunities to be successful? I think we talk about Russell Wilson a lot as a guy Seahawks. We're both Seahawk fans, and Russell Wilson's the quarterback. And I think we all kind of know the story of Russell Wilson a little bit. But he's just one of those guys that is one of his purposes is to make other people around him better and to elevate his own success and other and his own opportunities. He understands that he can't get there alone. He needs to be able to have his team around him. And the way that he can give his team the best chance of success is to give back his time and effort and energy and knowledge to his teammates, so that they become more successful, and through their success, he becomes more successful. And that's what we're talking about here. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, I think, because we had to throw in the sports. But I think that we also, when it comes to the social purpose culture that we're dreaming about here, is that when we're happy, it's a ripple effect amongst us. I'll pull up some studies and we'll talk about it in depth sometime about how each of us being happy and just extending any kind of kindness or any kind of goodness out there into the world has a sort of ripple effect. We always think, you know, how can we change the world? Well, the way you do it is starting by yourself. That's the only place you have, is to start with yourself. And
it's overwhelming other way.
If each one of us had that mentality that it all starts with us and it ripples out, then it will affect the world.
And Sherry, that's what we're talking about here with a social purpose culture. The important word there is culture, because it involves individual change multiplied. So we're talking about a multiplying effect. It then becomes a culture
Yeah. You know, when we talk about success, I know you and I went back and forth with how shallow it felt at first when we, because this, everything that we do is started with this whole success thing, and why we are going the direction we are is because we even felt the shallowness of it and not having any depth to it. And we realized that success is something that when we redefine it, it can have far more meaning and have a deeper meaning than what is traditionally portrayed out there. And if we all looked at it differently and saw that success means many different things and many different steps and many different ways, we can, you know, all achieve something spectacular. And a lot of times, if we think of success as also not just a me effort, but a group effort, imagine what we can do. You know, that's kind of where I see it fitting into a social purpose culture, is taking success and saying, hey, it's not just about me. It's about the bigger picture.
How many people can I bring along with me,
right,
on this journey?
Yeah, when you were talking about Russell Wilson, it's, you know, he can't win a Super Bowl by himself. He has to work with his team. And that's how we can look at sports and use that analogy and saying, you know, we're the quarterbacks of our lives. And, you know, who are the people that we could use to, you know, build something, whether it's a beautiful family or a beautiful community or a beautiful job or workplace
or a business
or city, you know.
And so and when we talk about collaboration, mm-hmm, and innovation, that's where that comes from. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about giving ourselves the best opportunity to be successful. And sometimes that means we need to ease our own burden. And by that, I mean bringing other people in to help us. We, you know, we're big, powerful, strong people, but we're not perfect, and we have weaknesses. And sometimes we need to combine our effort with other people that have the same, that are on the same path, to create something even better. And so when we talk about collaboration, which often leads to innovation opportunities and new ideas and new products and so forth, that's how our nation moves forward. That's how we move forward as a people. And so that's how it ties in together for us.
Yeah. We think that having a social purpose culture is filled with all the little different things that we can do. And it's not just big, huge efforts, but it's the small things that add up that will affect, you know, the way we live. And that the fact that we keep hammering over and over about redefining success is because we think it's a contributor to a lot of the social issues that we see out there that we're all, you know, complaining about. We're going around and around and around about how to solve them. Well, part of the problem is if we don't individually look at how we're defining it and what we, you know, what we buy, what we consume, what we do, how we act, how that contributes to the whole big overall picture. That's what's why this is important to us, is that as soon as we start thinking that, you know, beyond ourselves and start including everybody out there into our world, that's when we can start making a shift in a lot of these social issues that we're, you know, so concerned about.
And progress.
Next month is Anti-Bullying Month, and we're going to go into a little bit more. That will be one of the social issues that we want to talk about, and how we see bullying as a far larger issue than just the kids that are bullying each other or coworkers that are bullying each other. It's a far larger issue to us. And so that's part of redefining success to us too, is, you know, how we're competing with each other as opposed to, you know,
lifting
each other up. Yeah, right. We'll go into that in far depth later, but that's where we're leading to here.
Excellent. Well, that wraps it up for today. That was a great initial conversation. We would love some input, some ideas. If you think that we kind of nailed it, or if we're off a little bit, or you don't really understand exactly what we're talking about, send us a note.
So stay tuned to our next episode. We're going to go into farther depth about the details. So
right, we're going to talk about how to navigate how we think we should be navigating the success gap.
Exactly.
And why it's important to do that. So thank you, Sherry.
Wow,
it was a great podcast, and look forward to the next one. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
To learn more about our movement to create a social purpose culture, visit our website at movemindsglobal.com. There you can listen to more podcasts, read articles, catch up on the latest news, and visit our ever-growing research center.